Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in on International Women's Day. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's International Women's Day. A time to celebrate and recognize women all over the world for their achievements and contributions in all facets of society, including sports. In the decades since South Africa allowed women to become professional boxers, only several dozen have climbed between the ropes for prize fights. While the boxers don't lack for talent, they say they struggle for opportunities and recognition and face intense pressure to quit. That struggle for workplace equality is the theme of this year's International Women's Day, which is marked by the hashtag #BeBoldForChange. On this International Women's Day, VOA's Anita Powell follows a young South African boxer who is fighting for her place in the unforgiving sport. Anita reports from Johannesburg.
The sweet sound of the sweet science, but with a twist. Johannesburg's gritty inner-city Hillbrow Boxing Club has become an unlikely home for some in South Africa's tiny group of professional women fighters. It is home to welterweight champion Rita Mwebi, who has been trained for years by the club's founder, George Kosi. The club's latest up-and-comer is 24-year-old Selena Mabunda, who recently registered as a professional at 63 kilograms after about 3 years of training.
You have fears, become scared of the punches, but once you receive one punch, you know that it's game on. You have to fight back or you go home.
Her quest for recognition, however, has been an uphill battle, and a surprising pushback has come from someone she expected to be in her corner, her mother, who once tagged along to watch her train.
You wouldn't believe what she said after I've done training. She was like, why don't you get a child first? She was so scared that I wouldn't be able to bear children like the way I train.
The gym is a male-heavy space, but has trained several female fighters, amateur and professional. In South Africa, professional fighters can earn thousands of dollars for winning fights. Gym founder Kosi says he is proud of the handful of women he has trained.
I love to train women.
Kosi says he thinks women fighters learn quickly. Other women say talent is not enough. Makosi Kwabe says she was pressured out of going professional, so she became a coach.
Ooh, my mother. So my mother, she didn't like it. She asked my father to tell me I must stop because they don't like boxing. I said, what can I do? Because I love boxing all my heart. So my mother, she asked me no. So it's how I stopped. Then I asked coach, coach, I like sports and I can't sit back, do nothing.
South Africa's sports minister recently vowed to increase opportunities for women boxers. But there are just not enough women in the sport. Even at this gym, women fighters often train with men. Mabunda says women boxers struggle to find opponents because there are so few. She went pro in early March, but does not have a fight scheduled. Mabunda, however, says she has faith.
The most important thing is that you believe in yourself. If people don't believe in yourself, you put that belief in yourself and then you go it. And they will follow you eventually.
Until that happens, she will keep shadow boxing alone in the ring, facing down her toughest opponent, herself. For the sunny side of sports, I'm VOA's Anita Powell in Johannesburg.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
This is the Voice of America, Washington. Ba 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 zip. DC.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Now let's go to India's northern state of Haryana. That's where an increasing number of young women are taking to wrestling, a sport that has not been traditionally open to them in a deeply patriarchal society. As Anjana Pasricha reports, wrestling is helping change conservative attitudes toward women after many scored victories in international competition.
On a chilly winter morning, a group of young girls and women do warm-up exercises ahead of a grueling three-hour training session at the Chotu Ram Stadium in Rohtak town in India's northern Haryana state. 12-year-old Meenakshi begins practice at 6 a.m. before she heads to school. Like the other women and girls, her inspiration is female wrestler Sakshi Malik, who trained at this stadium and shot to national fame after bagging a bronze medal at the 2016 Olympic Games.
Only 9 seconds, she made her life wonderful, completed.
Wrestling for women was frowned upon in the conservative state that is known for its male-dominated village councils and sex-selective abortions. But a slow change began after two women made their mark as world-class wrestlers at the 2010 Commonwealth Games. When Coach Mandeep came to the stadium 6 years ago, only a handful of girls learned wrestling. Now he is inundated with questions as scores of parents have overcome traditional taboos and wrestling has become a rage.
Earlier, parents stopped the girls and kept them at home because that was the social norm. Now parents are supporting them and fulfilling their ambitions. It's a huge social change.
Many of them, like 17-year-old Tina Malik, who has bagged a national medal, have come from villages where women are often covered from head to toe and where girls could not mix with boys.
Earlier, even for practice, we could not wear clothes like this. Now we can wear this sports gear. No one objects.
It is not just the attire that is liberating. Dreams are getting fired as they emerge from the shadows of tradition to pack power and punch in a bout of wrestling. Pinky Malik, the daughter of a farmer, has already won a gold medal at the 2016 Commonwealth Championship and is determined to emerge on top in the next Olympics. But medals are not the only achievement.
Women should get respect. That's the biggest issue, respect. Wrestling will improve things for us.
As their success changes traditional attitudes, wrestling has become the unlikely path helping Haryana's young girls and women break barriers and write their own future. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, Rohtak, Haryana.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa program.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Turning to women's tennis on International Women's Day, American star Serena Williams has pulled out of this week's BNP Paribas Open in Indian Wells, California, and the Miami Open in Florida later this month because of a left knee injury. As a result, the 35-year-old Williams will relinquish her world number one ranking to the German Angelique Kerber. Serena is a two-time champion at the Indian Wells tourney, where she returned in 2015 after a lengthy boycott. In 2001, Serena was the winner in the Indian Wells final, but it was marred by racist abuse from some fans who booed and heckled the American star and her family. In a statement about her withdrawal, Serena said, and I quote, "I have not been able to train due to my knees, and I'm disappointed I cannot be there. I will keep moving forward and continue to be positive. I look forward to being back as soon as I can." According to the Women's Tennis Association website, Serena needed to reach the semifinals of the Indian Wells tournament for a chance to retain her number one ranking. But her withdrawal means Kerber will take over the number one spot after the competition in the Southern California desert community. Serena Williams had returned to the number one ranking in women's tennis in January when she won her record 23rd Grand Slam singles title, the most in the modern professional era, at the Australian Open. The American sportswear giant Nike has unveiled a hijab for Muslim female athletes. The multi-billion dollar company says the Nike Pro Hijab has been in development for a year. Athletes contributed input into the product, and Zahra Larry, the first figure skater from the United Arab Emirates to compete internationally, was among those who tested the hijab. The pull-on product is made of light, stretchy fabric that includes tiny holes for breathability and an elongated back so it will not come untucked. The 22-year-old Larry says she's super excited to be involved in Nike's campaign and is already wearing the hijab on the ice. She posted photos of herself wearing the black hijab on her Instagram page. Nike says the hijab will be available for sale next year and will also come in two other colors, gray and obsidian. I had to look up obsidian in the dictionary to find out what color that is. It's kind of a neutral, translucent color. Obsidian. I think that's the first time I've ever had that in my sports script. Obsidian. What a color. Now, last year in Brazil, the fencer Ibtihaj Muhammad became the first Muslim American woman to compete for the USA wearing a hijab at the Olympics. The 31-year-old Muhammad won a bronze medal at the Rio Games. 2017 is a big anniversary year for the Voice of America. We're celebrating the 75th anniversary of our first broadcast. As I reflect on my own nearly 30-year VOA career, I've had the chance to interview some memorable female athletes. On this International Women's Day, let me give a shout-out for Maria Mutola, the Maputo Express, who won three world titles and one Olympic gold medal for Mozambique in the women's 800 meters race. I had a chance to talk with Maria at the 2001 World Championships in Edmonton, Canada, where she won her second world title at 800 meters. Our meeting came 1 year after the Maputo Express raced to the gold medal at the Sydney Olympics in Australia. Now, Sydney was one of six Olympics that Maria Mutola competed in, as she etched one of the great careers in African athletics. On International Women's Day, let's take a break now for this Voice of America anniversary message from the VOA's female director, Amanda Bennett.
Hello, 75 years ago, Voice of America made its first broadcast. Today, we broadcast in over 45 languages all over the world. We broadcast in every means that people could possibly want to receive their news and information. We use radio still. We use television. We broadcast for the web, for mobile, and if new forms of communication are invented, we'll be there too. Our mission is really, really simple. We give neutral, fair, objective, independent news and information to people who have no other access to it. And we tell America's story. And America's story is rich and full. It goes from the entrepreneurial climate of Silicon Valley to our great universities, to health and medicine and medical advances. It's also the story of America's diaspora, the people who came here from all over the world. I started my journalistic career more than 50 years ago. And here today at Voice of America, I remember just why I became a journalist. It's such a privilege to be working here with the great men and women who are telling America's story and providing neutral news and information around the world. I'm so happy to be here at Voice of America as it celebrates its 75th anniversary, and I feel proud to welcome it into the next 75 years.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Happy International Women's Day, Andrew.
Happy International Women's Day to you as well and to all of our female listeners out there.
Well, can we be bold for change this evening, Andrew, with that hashtag, be bold for change on International Women's Day?
I think so. Kicking things off last night, I think the U.S. women's national soccer team would have liked to change the score in the She Believes Cup, where they faced off against France last night right here in D.C. Fortunately, France winning that one 3-0. But Becky Sauerbrunn, a defender for Team USA, she tweeted out, said, "Rough day at the office, but we will bounce back." And that sense of kind of resiliency and empowerment is what we're seeing today on International Women's Day, especially from the sports world. Mia Hamm, for example, a quote that she once said, I've seen this shared throughout social media. She said, "My coach said I ran like a girl. I said if he could run a little faster, he could too." So we see Mia Hamm's quote, of course, a great U.S. soccer star, that quote being shared. But we're seeing all kinds of female athletes on social media marking International Women's Day, among them Serena Williams. She has an Instagram post where she's holding up a sign with the hashtag Strength Has No Gender. And she did a commercial, actually, for a watchmaker, Audemars Piguet, recreating Rudyard Kipling's famous poem, If. Now, that poem ends with the lines, "Yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son." Talking about if you can do all these things and reach all these achievements, you'll be a man, my son. Well, her version ends with the line, "You'll be a woman, sister." So okay. She changes that up for International Women's Day, but all about female empowerment there. And then throughout, not just tennis but and soccer, but Ronda Rousey, the famed MMA fighter, tweeting out with hashtag resist several photos of female empowerment. The great Billie Jean King tweeting out saying on International Women's Day and every day, let's look not at what we get from life, but what we give to life. And Wilma Rudolph is one of the sports stars being noted who has passed, but a great Olympian, a winner of 3 gold medals who fought for women's rights, particularly for African-American women. So she's being remembered today. And another sports star who has passed away years ago, Babe Diedrichsen-Zacharias, Now, this is, you know, talk about the greatest athlete of all time. She's got to be in the conversation, as a lot of people noting on social media today on International Women's Day. 10-time LPGA major champion in golf and the 1932 Olympic gold medalist in the 80-meter hurdles and the javelin. So really an all-around athlete and a great ambassador for women in sports.
Andrew, you mentioned France winning the She Believes Cup soccer trophy here in Washington. Let's give a Sunnyside a sports salute to the French women. They inflicted one of the worst losses on the USA women, the reigning Women's World Cup champions. And I think it's been almost 14, 15 years they've lost by 3-goal margin. That was right here in Washington. So the Americans will have to regroup a bit. I think they are bringing in some younger players, and we hope that they can be bold in the future, Andrew.
Absolutely. It speaks volumes about how well that team has performed. It's such a rarity for them to lose by such a wide margin.
What else is trending on International Women's Day, Andrew?
Well, speaking of teams that are not used to losing and that have won by wide margins, the University of Connecticut women's basketball team, as we've talked about in the past, they are on a record run, 107-game winning streak as of today. But they're getting a lot of attention because of a player, Katie Lou Samuelson, in their championship game for their conference tournament, which, of course, UConn women won. Not surprising there. Katie Lou Samuelson goes 10 for 10 from beyond the arc, hits 10 three-pointers on 10 attempts, something that only one Division I men's basketball player has ever been able to do, and that was Andre Smith in 2008 with George Mason University. No NBA player has ever been able to do that. Mm. So a great accomplishment. Mm. She breaks that record in women's basketball. And a lot of people noting after she got those shots, she kind of backpedaled down the court and gave a little shrug like Michael Jordan, in that famous 1992 NBA Finals where he made all those three-pointers in the first half and he kind of gave a little shrug, that famous move. Well, she replicated that. So no crying Jordan meme, only the good Jordan shrug, I guess we'll call it.
You almost mentioned the late, great Michael Jackson.
Andrew. I know. I knew I was going to mess that up today. I don't know why. When I wrote that down, I said, I'm going to say Michael Jackson.
I thought to myself, he had some pretty good moves,
he
too.
Was, you know, I think Michael Jackson versus Michael Jordan, maybe Michael Jackson was a little better at backpedaling, I'd say, doing the moonwalk. But Michael Jordan probably better at three-point shots.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, on a more serious note, but a great note, Nike has come out with a hijab, which is the headscarf that Muslim women wear for women who compete in athletics. So it's called the Nike Pro Hijab, and it's made of a kind of a breathable, stretchable fabric to accommodate those athletes who are observant Muslim women. It's being released in the fall of 2017, and it's getting a lot of attention on social media already, a lot of praise that Nike is doing this. We talked about maybe about 3-4 weeks ago, Nike released a video with a bunch of Muslim athletes, of women wearing hijabs who were competing in various sports. So they're getting a lot of praise for doing this and accommodating these athletes and helping them to compete. However, it's not without a little bit of back and forth. There are some saying that they've been making sports hijabs for years and haven't gotten the attention that Nike's getting. Hmm. So they wish that they could get more attention from maybe some of these small businesses, women-owned businesses who are making these hijabs for athletes. But it's still many people saying a step in the right direction to encourage these women to compete. We've seen it in the Olympics, women wearing hijabs in different sports. So it's a step forward for Muslim women competing in athletics. That's what people are noticing.
And I think you're right, Andrew. I think it's about inclusion and letting all athletes compete on the international stage, regardless of their faith.
Exactly. Regardless of the faith and regardless of their gender, especially on International Women's Day. Not a coincidence that they're talking about this on International Women's Day and that it is being talked about so widely on social media today.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. And we'll have you back on Thursday, Andrew.
Sounds good. See you then.
And that wraps up the March 8th International Women's Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And a salute to all the ladies out there listening this evening on International Women's Day. Maybe a few girls, too. Happy International Women's Day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has called for a change in the UN structure to help prevent terrorist acts directed or inspired by ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and other organizations. As a first step, he proposes establishing a new office headed by an undersecretary general that would coordinate and strengthen UN counterterrorism efforts of the UN General Assembly, which are dispersed among dozens of UN entities. The United States supports the UN Secretary General's reform plan and the appointment of an Undersecretary General to oversee UN counterterrorism efforts. Speaking at an informal consultation of the UN General Assembly, U.S. Permanent Representative to the United Nations, Ambassador Nikki Haley, noted that the new Undersecretary General will need to set clear priorities to implement the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy. But she said there is room for the UN to do still more.
It can expand the assistance it provides to member states. It can help states stop the flow of foreign terrorist fighters. It can work with states to build more robust systems to check who is coming across a border.
Ambassador Haley said the UN can also contribute to stopping terrorist recruitment by amplifying anti-violent extremist voices in its programs and by partnering with civil society organizations that speak out against violent extremism. She highlighted the UN's work in promoting respect for human rights, including freedom of expression and the rule of law, as an essential component in preventing radicalization to violence. Ambassador Haley said, however, that defeating the most dangerous terrorist organizations cannot fully succeed until UN member states stop their own support of terrorist activity.
Proposals on paper will have limited impact as long as there are states that choose to arm, shelter, and finance terrorist organizations.
Ambassador Haley commended Secretary General Guterres's reform proposals and for the seriousness with which he considers the issue, adding, "We have much work to do to rid the world of the threat of terrorism."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Salee, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss International Women's Day. It's also known as the United Nations Day for Women's Rights and International Peace, celebrating women's achievements throughout history. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this, whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.